ways of love God, love people, make disciples. So that's kind of our theme of here at Vision at First Baptist Church. And you might be wondering, well, where'd you get that? You guys just make that up, or where'd that come from, type of thing? Well, it is biblical. It's in the Word of God, so we're going to go there. Matthew 22:37-40. I think it'll come up on the screen there. And then I will read that. You ever wear one of these things? I feel like I should be in a drive-thru or something. Does anybody want anything to eat? I'll take an order. Or at Best Buy. I feel like I'm at Best Buy checking computers. Yeah, we got that in the back. We got it, yeah. Okay. It's the Word of God. Here's what it says. Love God, love people, make disciples. And he said to him, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the greatest and first commandment. And the second is like that. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments depend all the law and the prophets. So there's that love God, love people thing. Love the Lord, the first and greatest commandment. What's the second one? love your neighbor as yourself. Well, let's go to Matthew 28:18-20. Take a look at that as well. It says this, and Jesus came and said to them, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe everything, all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the very end of the age. So that's that disciple part. Love God, love people, make disciples. So if you want to know what First B is about, we try our best to be about those things right there with the help of God, not on our own efforts on that. Today we're going to, well, where'd that come from? You know, I told you I was going to tell you that. It's in the Word of God. But Jeff Dobishar, pastor here for about 14 and a half years, when he first came on the first couple years, we were called deacons at that time, and the Webs opened up their place to us. And we had a little retreat going, God, what do you want us to do? How do you want to guide us and direct us? And Jeff, very good, brought us together, the leader that he is, and just got us to really think of that and kind of simplify it and down something we could go with. Love God, love people, make disciples. So that's where that came about. So the topic today is love people. So very large topic. So how much time you got? Just kidding, don't worry. I'll let you out early. Very large topic, so right now, just disclaimer, I'm going to be jumping around scripture all over the place type of thing, so, and I'll give you some we'll look at, some we won't because we don't have time, but we want to really look about how do we love people the way God wants us to in that, or even should we? I mean, what, he commands it, but let's look at what Paul says. This won't show up on there. Why even look at love? I mean, isn't it just a given? Here's what Paul says. Paul's a guy that wrote a lot of the New Testament. God wrote it through him. And it says this just in the first part of 1 Corinthians chapter 13. We're not going to go through the whole list of what it is, but let's look at the first three verses. It says this, if I speak in tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I am only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy, and it is up there, I think I'll look up there. Mystery and prophecies. I'm resounding. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and I have the faith that can move mountains but have not love, I am nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor and surrender my body to the flames but have not love, what do I gain? I gain nothing. That's how important love is, and that's how much God wants us to get it. The Bible talks about, you know, kind of four different types of love. One's called phileo. It's kind of like a friendship love you have between each other. That's one of the loves. Then he talks about eros love, you know, the love, romantic love between a man and a woman. Then he also talks about this he said love. The steadfast, loyal love. 250 times in the Old Testament, he talks about that to the people of Israel, to his steadfast, loyal love to people that were unfaithful to him. But he remained faithful because that's who he is. That's part of his character, that steadfast, loyal love. And then there's the best type of love, the agape love. The high quality, high definition, best there is. You can't get it anywhere except one place. Because it's supernatural. It comes from God and God alone. And Dave helped us a couple weeks ago talk about that. Another elder up here reminded us that, you know what? Before we do anything, try to love people, love God. But even that, God loved us first, didn't he? It's not that there was something great and grandiose about us. It was his love for us. And even that, the love we have for God actually comes from him. That's amazing that he would want to give us that type of love. But as I'm getting ready for this, I'm like, okay, love people. Where am I going to go with that? Kind of big, kind of large topic. What stood out to me was, why the emphasis on loving your neighbor as yourself? You know, love God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, and love your neighbor. Why didn't you just leave it at love your neighbor? Little period there, love your neighbor. No, he goes, love your neighbor as yourself. Jimmy kind of talked about this a few weeks ago about who talks to us more than anybody? Ourselves, thank you. Yeah, who takes care of us better than anybody? Who looks out for ourselves more than anybody? Probably number one, huh? Ourselves. You know, but I'm like, gosh, that kind of seems shallow. God wants me to have some kind of love like that, where it's this shallow, selfish love for myself that I'm going to use to love other people. I'm like, wait a minute. You know, what's up with that type of thing? But the more I looked at it, I wanted to share this with you. If we love our neighbors as we love ourselves, we shall want for them the treatment we should want for ourselves were we in their place. Does that make sense? You get that? God wants us to share the type of love that we would want if we were in that place. Kind of the golden rule, huh? Do unto others as you want to do unto them, or do unto you. But that's the kind of love that he wants us to have, to love our neighbor as ourselves. Another question for you. Well, not really a question, more of a statement. You know when you're loved, don't you? When love has touched you and changed you, it's genuine and sincere. It's unconditional. It's unreserved. And you know it when you have it. You know, and I don't come home at night questioning if my wife loves me. I know. And I know not everybody's in that situation. But why do we do that with God? You ever find yourself doing that, questioning if God loves you or not? He has a, he said, loyal love, and he has an agape love that's supernatural, unconditional. Everybody knows when they're loved, because anybody seen the movie Forrest Gump? Forrest Gump. So you got Forrest there. He says something. This verse reminds me of Forrest. I'm going to share it because it makes me think of Forrest Gump. 1 John 3:16. Before I share that, he goes, he's in love with this girl named Jenny. You know. And he says, I'm not a smart man, but I know what love is. Everybody knows love when it touches them. This is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers. So what does love look like? What does it involve? What's that agape love? We don't want to settle for my cheap, shallow love that I can offer you. You know, I've always been a nice guy. I love people. There was always an agenda, though, before I became a follower of Jesus Christ. Yeah, I'd love you, but I want something in return. I didn't know what it meant to be loved unconditionally in a way that, until I came to know who God was. But what does love look like? What does it involve? So this agape love that we're going to talk about. I want to share the story, and hopefully this will kind of drive it home a little bit. Many years ago, when I worked as a volunteer at a hospital, I got to know a little girl named Liz who was suffering from a rare and serious disease. Her only chance of recovery appeared to be a blood transfusion from her 5-year-old brother, who had miraculously survived the same disease and had developed the antibodies needed to combat the illness. The doctor explained the situation to her little brother and asked the little boy if he would be willing to give his blood to his sister. I saw him hesitate for only a moment before taking a deep breath and saying, "Yes, I will do it if it will save her." As the transfusion progressed, he lay in his bed next to his sister and smiled as we all did, seeing the color returning to her cheeks. Then his face grew pale and his smile faded. He looked at the doctor. Sorry. and asked with a trembling voice, "Will I start to die right away?" Being young, the little boy had misunderstood the doctor. He thought he was going to have to give his sister all his blood in order to save her. Sacrifice. Agape love, quality of that is sacrifice. I've seen that manifested another way. Another quality of agape love that I'd like to share with you is my brother's wife. Her name's Jane, and raised 8 kids. Big family. And she poured her life into these kids. Not in a bad way, she's a neglected husband kind of thing. It was, she just loved these kids. Her life was poured out in a way that still speaks to me today. She passed away of a heart attack in her mid-50s. But she'd do it all over again. I know it. Agape love is other-centered. It wasn't about Jane, it was about the people around her that she loved. So, apologize, stay with me here. Get my notes in order here. So that's what love looked like. Let's see what the Bible says about that. Let's go to 1 John chapter 4, verse 7 through 10. You can go to chapter 7, but it's not in there. It says this, "Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. And whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love." You hear that? God is love. His very essence of who he is. "This is how God showed his love among us, that he sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. This is love. Not that we loved God, David rightly reminded us, but that he loved us and has sent his Son as atoning sacrifice for our sins." God is love. It's very clear right there. His very nature is love, isn't it? You ever go like Google Wikipedia and you look up stuff and you're like looking at a little definition and something comes up? You know, they should have love up there, and then a little picture of Jesus shows up. Boom. A little description of who he is, his character. Jesus Christ. He's the ultimate expression of love, isn't he? The ultimate expression. What more could he do to tell us he loved us? But we got a problem. Why is loving people so hard? Why is loving people so hard? Because you're unlovely. I'm unlovely. UGLY, you ain't got no alibi, you ugly. You ugly. Spiritually speaking, you're ugly. Your heart is decrepit, sinful above all things. Jeremiah 17:9, I think that's coming up. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately sick. Who can understand it? You ever get those people saying, "No, just follow your own heart. You know, just be true to you." I don't think that's, most of the time that's not sound biblical advice, because our heart's decrepit, sinful. Let's go to Ecclesiastes 9:3. This is an evil in all that is done under the sun, that the same event happens to all. Also, the hearts of children of man are full of evil, full. And madness is in their hearts while they live, and after that they go to the dead. So loving his people is hard. And you know why it's hard sometimes? You know? Because we don't love ourselves, do we? There's times where we're our worst critic. Who's talking to us more than anybody? It's yourself. And what are we saying to ourselves? You know? It's tough to love others when we don't love ourselves. We have to remember who God says we are. You know, like that song, I am who you say I am. It's one of the verses in song I like. You know, I am who you say I am, Lord. Not who I say I am. Not who other people say I am. I am who you say I am. The ultimate expression of love is Jesus. So what is God's standard for love? You ever think of that? John 15:12 says this, love each other as I have loved you. Oh, yeah, that's simple. Yeah, no problem. Yeah, got it. Oh, how about this one? Love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. Oh, all the time. I'm all over that one. Oh, how about this? Love your wives as Christ loved the church. I would love to do that, but I don't know how sometimes. Oh, what about this? What about forgiveness? So Peter's talking to Jesus going, how many times should I forgive my brother? And he's thinking three is a big number because the rabbis would say three, the religious leaders of the day. So he goes, what does Peter say? He goes, should I forgive my brother seven times? What does God come back with? 77. Continual forgiveness we're supposed to offer one another. Oh, how about this one too? Be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. Who's perfect here? No one. So God, why would God ask us to do something we can't do? Why is he doing that? Why would he ask us to do something we cannot do? So let's establish what we've talked about so far. UGLY, you ain't got no alibi. You, ugly. Spiritually speaking. And you can't do what God wants you to do. Hey, welcome to church. Isn't this encouraging? Aren't you so glad you came this morning? Okay. It gets better, though. It gets better. Why would he do that? There must be some plan that God has. Creator of the universe, he must have a plan for this. I think one of the aspects is this. Dependence upon him for agape love to be revealed. We have to depend on him. It's not on our own efforts. We have to depend on him for agape love, unsacrificial, not expecting anything in return type of love. My love's shallow, like I mentioned before. It's not, I never had that capacity to love people in the way I really wanted to because I didn't have the love of God in my life. We can't share the love of God with other people, that supernatural love. We haven't experienced it ourselves. We need to come to him. We need to depend on him on a daily basis for that. So how can we love like Jesus loved? That's what we're talking about. He says, love as I have loved you. Well, let's go to John 15:5. If you don't mind, the Gospel of John. That's not going to come up there. But another one that I think is a key before that is Galatians 2:20, one of my favorite verses. It says, for I've been crucified in Christ, but I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God who died and gave himself for me. We need to die to ourselves to be able and yield ourselves to the God of the universe to be able to have him change our lives with the love that he has for us. But how can we love like Jesus loved? How do we do that? John 15:5 says this, I am the vine, you are the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. We can't do anything worth any value or substance apart from him. I am the vine. He is the vine. We got to stay close to our Savior. You'll hear this term in business a lot. You need to lean in. You know, you need to lean into that project. Stuff, things are tough. You got to kind of lean in into this project. Can we do that with God? Will you do that with God? Will you lean into the Father? He's the author and perfecter of our faith. You think he'd ever cast you out if you came to him and you had something on your heart? Right now, he is praying for you, sitting at the right hand of God, interceding on your behalf. Jesus Christ is doing that right now. Right now. What's great about this agape love that God offers? What does it offer? It's the next question. What does love offer? It offers hope, doesn't it? You know when you're loved, and there are things you will go through because of the hope that is there. And hope can get you through things that you face. Your circumstance might not be good right now. It might not be what you want. But true agape love, it doesn't leave you. He will never leave you, never forsake you. He offers hope, just like this candle over here talking about hope. He has come into the world. He came to dwell with us. God came to dwell with us. Dwell here in our decrepit heart. He wants to dwell inside you. He offers that hope. But our hope isn't for this world, though, is it? The Bible talks about if our hope in Christ is for this life, we are to be pitied beyond all men. But there is an eternal hope that's coming. He's coming here first, but he's coming back again. And taking those that have bowed their knee to him, they will live forever in eternity. Just the place where God wanted them. And that can start today for you. Eternity doesn't start after you die. In one essence, it does in that verse, huh? I've been crucified with Christ and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. But here on earth, you could still experience that agape love. He promises those that are believers, he'll have a deposit guaranteeing what is to come. He'll give you his Holy Spirit in Ephesians 1. If you bow your knee to him and say, hey, there's nobody else I can follow. There's nobody else. Let's look at some practical ways to love. So what are some practical ways to love? How are we going to do this? Say we have this agape love in our life. How are we going to share that with others? What are we going to do? We know when we're loved. I think one of the key ways to do that is to listen, isn't it? When somebody listens to you, what does that tell you? Doesn't that kind of tell it that they care about you? You're a captive audience. Sorry, too bad, so sad. But when somebody takes the time to spend time with you and listen to your cares and concerns, and you do that, that speaks love to them. What's the one commodity we have that's all the same for everyone sitting in this room? It's time, isn't it? We have different amounts of time on earth. Only God knows the day and the hour that our days are ordained here on earth. But as far as the actual time, tick tock, tick tock, tick tock, we all get the same. So to give up some of that for somebody else, that's a way to love them. Pray. How encouraging it is when somebody prays for you or you know somebody's praying for you. You know, if somebody shares a care and concern and say, oh, we'll do this, we'll say, I'll pray for you. You know, I'll pray for you. Do that right then. Don't miss that opportunity. It'll be a blessing to you and to them. And allow God to transform their life. It's great to pray for them, continue to pray for them. But if they share a need in their heart and they're willing to do that, take the time to bring them before the Heavenly Father together. And you'll be blessed for it. And so will they. Forgive. God tells us to forgive. We talked about that. Let's Share another verse up with you. Colossians 3, 12 through 14. I'm going to share that with you. I mean, how can we love as Jesus loved? I think this helps us out, maybe gives us a good perspective. It says this, therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves. We need to put on the right clothes. Here's the clothes we need to put on. Clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive whatever grievances you may have against one another. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. Love binds that all together, brings it all together when that agape love is in a situation, circumstance. Binds it all together. And you're God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved. Fellowship is another great way to practical ways to love, isn't it? I'm encouraged when I come here all the time. Even if I just see your face, you know, those little conversations you have and things. But just being with other believers. We're called to do that in Hebrews 10, 24, and 25. Don't forsake the fellowship of one another. But it's encouraging, you know, and I hope you get encouraged every time you walk through these doors. And we're with one another because we need each other in that way. We need each other in that way. It's another way to show love to one another. How about this one? Let's serve. 1 John 3, 18 says this. Dear children, let us not love with words or tongue, but with actions and in truth. So what is love? Well, love is an action. God commands us to love. We need his love to be able to love the proper way. But it's a command. And Dennis gave us a great thing there. I mean, what a way to serve of what's going on in the jail ministry, of practically loving people in actions and in truth that's going on there. And we have the opportunity to even do that with their kids, to encourage them, to bring them, let them know that they're loved. That's what we're called to do. We can talk about it all day, but if we don't do it, what does it matter? Be other-centered. We talked about that with my sister-in-law, Jane. Love unconditionally. Go love somebody. Expect nothing in return. Tell someone how God changed your life. You know, Abby and I have gone through some health issues before, and isn't it interesting the way God, you go through things in your life, experiences, and then it's just like you run into people that went through the same exact thing. That ever happened to you? And you're like, oh, that's interesting. Just a little coincidence. God doesn't waste that. He wants to use you in that. Share with people how God got you through. People aren't going to argue with you on that. They're going to say, oh, that's not true. It wasn't my life in that. So don't be afraid to do that. Those experiences and God brings you in that, and you're like, oh, God's leading you on something here. Step through that. I know that God will honor it. So what is our role? What is our role in experiencing this agape love, sharing this agape love that's supernatural only from God with those around us so we can see their lives different as well, because our lives have been different. We already mentioned it. Stay close to the Father. Lean in. Abide. Gary Harpel's a great example of this. If you ever know, go. One thing he'll tell you is abide. He's had a walk with God for a long time, and we need to draw close to him. We get too far away from that vine, we don't have much to offer. We need to find our identity in him. Let's go to 1 John 3, 1 through 3. This is not going to show up either. Remember, because when you have that little talk about who am I, you know, what's my identity, we need to find our identity in him. Listen to what it says here in 1 John chapter 3, verses 1 through 3. How great is the love the Father has lavished on us that we should be called children of God. And that is what we are. The reason the world does not know us is that it did not know him. Dear friends, now we are children of God, and what we will be has not yet been made known. But what we know that when he appears, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Everyone who has this hope, love brings hope, to him purifies himself just as he is pure. What are you? Where's your identity? When people ask me, I like to say, who are you or whatever, what do you do? I'm a child of God. Try that sometime. That's who God says I am. I'm a child of God. It doesn't matter what other people say about me, even what I say about me sometimes. But in God's eyes, I'm a child of God. I'm as white and pure as that snow out there that first comes down. I'm no longer that color, that decrepit thing in the curb that I'm ashamed of. That guilt and shame is gone. Because in God's eyes, I am declared righteous because of my faith and trust has been put in him. Because of what he's done, not what I've done, but what he has done. Another thing in our role, we need to keep an eternal perspective. Let's go to Romans 8:35. One of the great things about God is he'll never leave us or forsake us when we put our trust in him. Sometimes we need to be reminded, though, and be encouraged. I hope this will encourage you. Romans 8:35-39 says this: who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution? Or famine, or nakedness, or danger, or sword? As it is written, for your sake we face death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I'm convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Can anything? Nothing can separate us from the love of God as in Christ Jesus our Lord. Don't believe the lie. Believe what God says about you. He'll never give up on you. You're never too far gone because he removed your sins from the east as far as from the west. There is nothing too big that God can't handle in your life that he doesn't want to take care of if you'll just let him. And will we let him? So what's the end result of agape love? What's the end result of this supernatural love that only comes from God, that's pure, holy, right? It's transformation. Lives are different because of the changing agape love that is out there, that God has for us, that's available to all. When I grew up, I didn't grow up in a Christian household. I was the guy that went to church on Christmas and Easter for show. That was about the extent of my spiritual background growing up. Then I went to college at San Diego State. And for the first time, somebody told me what it meant to be a follower of Jesus Christ. That God loved me. That my sin was too great for me to bear. And the only one that could bear it was Jesus Christ because he led a sinless, perfect life. And if I gave my heart and life to him, I would be able to have a relationship with God and be able to live with him forever. That kind of freaked me out. I'm this athlete thinking, I got to work. If I work hard, I will get the result. And here's God offering me the grace that it was undeserved. So I sat down with this guy and I prayed. I didn't mean it at that time. Then I walked away. I was walking up these steps out of the Commons building at San Diego State University. And I go, God, if this is true, what this guy's telling me, come into my life and change me. And he did. You know what? He's not a liar. He keeps his promises. He is who he says he is. And I didn't have this big emotional experience and all this at that time, but little by little, my life continued to change. and I knew who I was. And I knew that something was different. And that's what attracted me to Christianity in the first place. I went hanging around these people for a while at these meetings with Camps Crusade for Christ and Athletes in Action. And there was a different quality about them. They had something in their lives that I didn't have. And I wanted what they had. And you know what it was? We've been talking about this morning. It was that agape love. They had agape love for one another. I thought they were fake. I thought they were just a bunch of yahoos putting on an act, and I'd catch them later. Catch them later. But it was true. God uses people that are followers of Jesus Christ to bring people to him. Don't discount the impact and influence you have on the people around you. They're looking at you. They're watching your lives. And they want what you have. But are you willing to share it with them? Are you willing to take that step to do that? Transformation. Who's seen the movie The Grinch Who Stole Christmas? Seen that? Grinch Who Stole Christmas. Man, the Grinch, man, there is a transformed life. I tell you what, his heart grew 3 sizes that day. 3 sizes. Whoo. Those Whoville people, they got it, didn't they? The Who's in Whoville, they understood what was important. There was nothing that could rob their joy. It was hidden where rust and moth cannot destroy. Oh, a little rhyme there. I didn't mean to do that. But you're children of God if you've asked Jesus Christ to be the Lord of your life. He transforms lives. So what is our calling in this? Excuse me. 13:8. Excuse me. Romans 13:8 says this: let no debt remain outstanding except the continuing debt to love one another. Love each other, for the one who loves another has fulfilled the law. Verse 10 says, love does no harm to its neighbor, therefore love is a fulfillment of the law. Love is that important. We're supposed to stay continually in debt. That one debt that we're not supposed to pay off in full, continually pour out a debt, that debt to God. Romans 12, 9 through 12 says this: love must be sincere. Hate what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Honor one another above yourselves. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. So where do I start? This might be new to some of you people. You never heard stuff like this. Gosh, God really loves me that way? How is that possible with all that junk in my life? A lot of us have been there, haven't we? For me, it was like, it's like Jesus was talking to me from the cross, saying, I got you, Ken. I got you. Then I come back with, please come down. I'm not worth it. Who told you that? Did I tell you that? Did you ever hear me say that? I need to get my life right, God. I need to get my life right. That's why I came. That's why I'm here. You can't get your life right. The standard is too high. My standard is too high. How's it been working for you, Ken? Please come down. I can't bear to see you suffer. You know what he comes back with? I will not come down. I love you that much. What must I do? It is finished. It is finished, is what he says. I wouldn't be standing here today for one thing. The resurrection of Jesus Christ. If God had not raised from the dead, I would not be here right now. Our faith would be futile. My preaching's futile, and so is our faith. The biggest question you can ask and answer, I believe, is this. What are you going to do with Jesus? What are you going to do with Jesus? Is he who he says he is? Is he some lunatic? Acts chapter 5, 36 through 39, you can look at it later. Some of the leaders of the day, there were some guys doing these uprisals, or the gentlemen were, disciples were out there preaching and everything, and they're like, what are we going to do? What are we going to do? And this guy steps forward and goes, hey, you know, we've had other people that have come into the country and had like 300 or 400 people follow them. They killed them and then they went away. That's happened a couple times. If this is the same deal, it'll go away too. Don't worry about it. But if it's not, you'll be fighting against very God. We're still talking about 2,000 days. 2,000 days. A day is like 1,000 years. If we start, no, just kidding. 2,000 years later about who Jesus Christ is. So I think you can take lunatic off of the equation. Is he a liar? Is he just making all this up? Titus 1:2 says, God who does not lie. There's no evidence in there. If they could have called him out while he was on earth, they would have done that. And the Father lies to someone else. And that's Satan in John 8:44. There is an evil adversary. And he doesn't want to know that God came that you might have life and have it abundantly. He wants you to think that you think something else. So was he perfect or not? Is he the acceptable sacrifice that God has so we can have a relationship with the God of the creator of the universe? Hebrews 4:15 says this, yet was he was without sin. 2 Corinthians 5:21, same deal. Because we've all fallen short. We've all sinned and fall short of the glory of God. We can't make it. We can't get from the east to the west. There is only one way to have a relationship with God, and that's through his son, Jesus Christ. He is the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through him. There's no other name on this earth that there's salvation, that you can be saved. He is that perfect sacrifice. Well, is he really Lord? Did he ever say he was going to be Lord? Did he ever come out and actually say that? That he was the Son of God? He did. Luke 22:70 and Matthew 26:63 and 64. He's on trial. Pilate's talking to him. Things are going on. And they called him out and said, well, tell us. Are you the Son of God? He says, yes, it is as you say. Yes, it is as you say. So that question still stands. What are you going to do with Jesus? Please don't leave today before you get that answer. Ask somebody next to you. Jesus is offering you eternal life today. We don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. We know what's going to happen when we walk out that room, but you have right now. You have right now to bend your knee and say, Lord, I'm sorry for my sins. I realize maybe for the first time that I can't make up the payment for my sins. It's only through your son, Jesus Christ, who led the perfect life, died on a cross. And I realize for the first time it's for me. You would have done all of that just for me. I want to accept your free gift of eternal life. Come into my life and make me the person you want me to be.
that's the prayer of your heart, he's going to answer that. Don't leave today before getting right with God. I'm not a smart man, but I know what love is. God is love, isn't he? God is love. Let's pray. Oh, thank you, Father God, for this morning. Thank you that the very essence and character of who you are and who you will always be is the agape love that's supernatural, sacrificial, unconditional, expects nothing in return. Thank you that you will never leave or forsake those that put their trust in you. And thank you that that's for us today. Lord, there's no one like you, and may we bow our hearts on a daily basis and just lean into you, Lord, and abide in you, because without you, we can do nothing. And thank you for pointing that out to us, and keep us close to you day after day after day until we can receive that hope that you've promised us, that we get to live with you in right relationship forever. Thank you for this time together, Lord. We love you. And thank you for who you are. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen.
Let us stand together as we close now with Be Still My Soul.